For centuries, healthcare has been central to the healing ministry of the church. Today's technologies offer exciting possibilities, but also serious moral questions. More than ever, we need healthcare leaders who serve with integrity and conviction. Our sponsor, the University of Mary, answers the call to prepare leaders anchored in moral courage in a breathtaking range of programs from bioethics to nursing. Visit CatholicProfessional.life. CatholicProfessional.life.
When the man comes around.
Sponsor Sony Pictures presents Father Stu, the story of the Golden Glove boxer who converted and joined the priesthood. Starring Academy Award nominee Mark Wahlberg with Academy Award winner Mel Gibson. This biopic shares the story of Father Stuart Long as he conquered his personal tragedy and made way for God's beauty in his life. Now playing exclusively in movie theaters nationwide. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
The most powerful personal prayer at Mass was written by a guy who wasn't even baptized. Hi, this is Father Rocky with our 37th lesson on the Mass. It's the Lord, I am not worthy prayer, and it was an unbaptized Roman soldier who made it up. Right before Holy Communion, the priest genuflex, takes the host, and holding it slightly raised above the paten or above the chalice while facing the people, says aloud, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world, blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb." And together with the people he adds once, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed." Lord, I am not worthy. These are some of the most famous words ever spoken, and they're repeated daily by tens of millions of Catholics at Mass right before Holy Communion.
Join Father Rocky for our Holy Week mission, Close to Jesus to the Last, at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for his glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Wednesday, April 13th, 2022. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air on this Holy Wednesday of Holy Week, also known as Spy Wednesday. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across our nation. It's a real privilege to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As this Holy Week continues, you can prepare your hearts and minds with our special presentation with Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky. It's called Close to Jesus to the Last at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central today and the rest of Holy Week. Father Rocky will take you into the events of Jesus' last days before his passion that led to his glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday. Father Rocky's been doing this for a number of years, and he does a fantastic job. So make sure you don't miss it today. If you've missed the first couple of days, this is absolutely outstanding job by Father Rocky. You'll also have two opportunities to pray the Stations of the Cross on Good Friday at noon central with Bishop Robert McClory, live from the Shrine of Christ's Passion in St. John, Indiana, and at 3 p.m. central with Father Rocky from the Chapel of the Nativity in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're also going to broadcast the Easter Vigil Mass on Saturday from the Vatican with Pope Francis. That'll be live at 12:30 p.m. central here on Relevant Radio. In fact, for a complete guide of all of our special Holy Week programming, all you got to do is look for the banner at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. And I just want to take a moment to remind you, we only have a couple of days left here in this Holy Week. You can still make it a really good Lent. If you do nothing else, please try to get to confession, the sacrament of joy, before Good Friday. I had an opportunity to go to confession myself on Sunday, and can't describe the peace and the joy that one knows that your sins are forgiven and you're ready to go to get ready for the Easter Triduum that is coming up. And we can really receive our Lord with a nice, clean heart. We begin every hour in prayer, especially we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine, asking our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God and uniting ourselves to the Holy Father's consecration of Ukraine and Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning here on Morning Air when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Philippians 2, 8 through 11. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." During this Holy Week, let's remember that this is what it's all about. Jesus the Lord, who humbled himself and became obedient, even unto death, death on a cross. God is reminding us that he is love, and he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to save us from sin and death so that we could have eternal life. This Holy Week and the upcoming sacred Paschal Triduum is all about our Lord Jesus Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. And now I want to talk about something that seems unthinkable to most rational, normal, and moral people, and we're talking about infanticide. Despite overwhelming public opposition, California's Assembly Judiciary Committee voted 7-2 along party lines to pass a bill that would legalize infanticide. This radical bill doesn't merely codify the right to kill unborn children throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. It would even decriminalize perinatal death, opening the door to killing newborn children days or even up to 6 weeks after birth. Listen to attorney Susan Arnold from the Right to Life League of Southern California, who discusses AB 2223, the infanticide bill she just testified against in the California Assembly Judiciary Committee.
We have to focus on what they're trying to do. They're trying to extend abortion rights past birth. They're trying to legalize infanticide by adding a term into the long list of things like stillborn, miscarriage, abortion. They add in the word perinatal, and that is an already defined term. It means from point of birth to at least a month later, and that's where the trouble is with this bill.
And this is what we call infanticide. And now joining us from Los Angeles, California, for more on this anti-life proposal in California and a few others is our Morning Air regular contributor, Astrid Bennett Gutierrez. Astrid is a pro-life activist and speaker working in the Hispanic community to save the unborn and train leaders to end abortion. She's also the president of the VIDA Initiative and executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services, which provides support for the women of Los Angeles, who are primarily Hispanic. Good morning, Astrid. It's always great to be with you. Thanks so much for joining us from LA on this Holy Wednesday.
Thank you very much, John, for having me and for touching on this topic. Yes, here in California, and I know other states are also facing this type of legislation that is trying to push the limits of abortion. We suspect it has something to do with the fact that right now the Supreme Court is considering the Dobbs versus Jackson's Women's Health case and where Roe versus Wade could be overturned. So sadly, states like my state of California has extreme pro-abortion laws, and here they are trying to codify abortion even further. And that's what AB 2223 does, what you have just described. The bill basically decriminalizes, which means prohibits civic or criminal action against pregnancy-related infant deaths. And yes, as the attorney has just mentioned, it puts that word in there, perinatal, which basically opens the door to infanticide, the killing of a child after the child is born, after it is born, and there's no culpability there. There's not going to be any investigation. So this vague term is the problem. We know that here in California and all over, the abortion industry is largely unregulated. Abortion is very protected. So we know this is bad news. We're asking for people to join us in prayer, fasting. Those in California, please call your representatives. Please ask them to vote no on AB 2223, this terrible bill that focuses on one thing, which is abortion. We need to start to push back. We have to rescue our state. This is not the only bill. I want to mention briefly three other bills that will, I know will shock the listeners, but I think it's important that we understand Holy Week is the right time to be thinking about these things. Our blessed Lord is going to suffer for our sins. These are our sins. These are the sins of a nation, an entire human race. This is what is happening to the children. And when it happens to the children, it happens to our blessed Lord in his passion. SB 1375, this bill will allow for non-physicians to perform abortions, even unsupervised from another physician not being present. This is dangerous for women. It's reckless abortion is what they're proposing. SB 1245 would fund a pilot program called Abortion Safe Haven to make LA County, Los Angeles, the destination place for abortion through marketing, through infrastructure, coordination of abortions, so that women in other states seeking an abortion will choose Los Angeles and have, you know, abortion made that much more easier. And then finally, SB 1142, are abortion scholarships. This means that women from other states where they are not able to obtain an abortion can come to California through this Abortion Practical Support Fund and have their expenses paid to come and get an abortion here in California. Transportation, hotel, meals. Basically what they're doing, John, is putting an emphasis and even a coercion and a pressure to women facing difficulties to choose abortion. Where is the support and the infrastructure and marketing for parenting, for the beautiful option of adoption, which you know so well how profound that is? Where is that option? Why all of this funding and emphasis and infrastructure towards one thing, killing a child, maiming a woman for life? This is something that we have to push back. I think that a lot of people listening to me might not even be aware. So please come to my page, Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, the Vida Initiatives page. I will have all this information posted so that you can pray, fast, call your representatives. I know other states, you and I were just talking about Colorado, is also facing similar infanticide-related bills that could be coming down for them as well. Please be active, informed. Pro-lifers, we're everywhere. John, we are at the abortion centers at the foot of the cross praying with 40 Days for Life. We're helping the mothers, but we also have to be watchful and mindful of what is happening legally, because when something becomes a law, it sends a message to society that abortion is something good, something that the law should protect, and that is the wrong message. So we have to be pushing back. Laws do matter.
We're joined this morning by Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, pro-life leader, the president of the VITA Initiative and executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services. Astrid, to me, these bills that you're describing, they seem just unbelievable. The three you just mentioned are bad enough. They're really trying to make Los Angeles and California the mecca of abortion. But the first bill that we talked about here today, the AB 2223, is just unthinkable. I mean, how could anyone rational and moral think that this bill is okay? This really would make California the infanticide state of our country. How's it possible for a bill like this to pass even initially?
Because this has already been happening in our country. We have the testimony of the nurse Jill Stanek years ago before Congress. Infanticide, the killing of a child after birth, even against the Infant Born Alive Act, which is a law, a federal law, protecting children that are born, they have to be protected, and to kill them is considered murder according to our laws. This is happening. And we saw the horrific story last week of the five children amongst the 113 that were found, that were discovered in Washington, D.C. America had a chance to see the face of possible infanticide. Children already at the point of birth, viable, that should be loved, that should be in their little crib, cared for, nurtured, dead. So we already know what's happening. This is just a way to sanitize it, John, and make it normal. And we're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep pushing the way that we're pushing for euthanasia. This is just the evil that we are called as Christians to combat. These are children made in the image of God. It is the enemy attacking them, and it is our duty to protect every single life.
Astrid, I'm so glad you brought up the case in Washington, D.C. We actually talked about it here on Morning Air. Those are late-term babies. They reminded me of the infamous Dr. Kermit Gosnell, who is in jail for murdering literally babies that were already born. And in fact, the attorney that we heard at the beginning of the segment, Susan Arnold from the Right to Life League of California, she said that this bill that we've been talking about, 2223, would literally allow doctors like Kermit Gosnell to murder newborns without any consequences.
Clearly, they're not interested in investigating the ones that are currently possibly happening right now, John. So what it's happening right now, what we're seeing is legislators that are pro-abortion, abortion fanatics, sadly blinded. We have to pray for them. They're our brothers and sisters, making it so it is protected by law. No longer are we just going to turn a blind eye to these things that are already happening, but we're going to make it so it is the law. It is protected. So when something like what happened in Washington, D.C. is discovered anywhere, you know, here in California, in Colorado, no problem. No crime was committed. No need to investigate.
Astrid, we know that this is beginning to go on in other states. It's spreading like a virus. What about other countries of the world? Are you aware of any other countries where they think that infanticide is okay and legal?
Yes, sadly, you know, abortion forces funded by organizations here in the United States, sadly, are pushing for later and later term abortions. Practically speaking, in countries like Colombia and Mexico, and you know, you can pretty much get an abortion through all 9 months for any reason. The late-term abortions, you just have to have a reason, rape, life of the mother, or fetal malformity to be able to obtain an abortion. And the laws are very loose as to proving that you were raped or proving that you have, you know, some sort of a medical condition. It's pretty much finding a doctor willing to do it. So we know that these are largely unregulated situations. We have seen countries like El Salvador too, that has women who have had abortions illegally, and that's something that is a problem. But it's something that we have to constantly, you know, talk about the humanity of the child, talk about, educating women about the truth of what is inside of them. We have to give them support and love. And that's what we propose as a pro-life movement is just education. Abortion is fed on lies, on hiding the truth, on cruelty, on shaming women that are pregnant. And it's all part of a bigger agenda, which is to reduce the population. And that's an evil agenda. It's a globalist agenda. And it's funded by dollars from these huge organizations. And they're affecting our countries in Latin America. They're affecting us here. I think parents have to take that primary role to teach their children the truth in the homes, be aware of what's being taught to them in the schools. And that's where a lot of it is taught. And I'm always so baffled as to these politicians putting forth some of these laws who claim to be Catholic. You know, who claim to be Catholic, I'm baffled by that. You
absolutely.
Know, so that, I think it's
Astrid,
so
we're running out of time. Real quickly, what can pro-life people in your state, in California, what can they do?
Call your legislators. Call your legislators and ask them to vote no on AB 223. Email them, call them. It's an easy, quick phone call. It's easy to find them. Just put your address on the search engine under California representatives. We also have SB 1375, SB 1245, and SB 1142. I'll post all these on the VIDA Initiative's Facebook page. That way you can easily access them, as well as a link to find your representatives. Pray and fast that these laws do not go through, that we can continue to push back on abortion, save lives until every single life is protected and cherished.
Astrid, as always, thanks so much for being with us and for bringing us up to date on this important matter, these four bills that people really need to know about, not just in California, but across our country. Thanks so much, Astrid.
You're welcome. God bless you and have a blessed Holy Week.
Many blessings to you, too. Astrid Bene-Gutierrez, the president of the VIDA Initiative and executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, our Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona will have the latest news on the Holy Father from the Vatican. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air after this.
Si ripongano le armi. Si inizi una tregua pasquale.
That was Pope Francis at the Palm Sunday Angelus appealing for an Easter truce in Ukraine, saying, let the weapons be put down, let the truce begin, but not to provide more weapons and pick up the combat again. No, a truce that will lead to peace. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Mraz along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks for tuning in. It's a blessing to be with you on this holy Wednesday morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And now it's time to bring Rome to home, as we do every Wednesday at this time. For the latest news from the Vatican, we go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project, providing Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. And you can read more about them at johnandashley.org. Good morning, Ashley. Buongiorno. It's especially great to be with you once again from Roma on this Holy Wednesday.
Oh, John, buongiorno to you and a very blessed Holy Wednesday. And in the audience today, as you brought up, John, the Holy Father was calling for peace to reign, especially in Ukraine during this Holy Week. In fact, he called war an outrage against God. He called it a blasphemous betrayal of the Lord of Passover. And he called it a preference for the face of the false gods of this world. But he said, instead, the way to authentic peace is a simple one, but a hard one. It's the way of meekness, and it's the way of the cross. Now, he looked to this past Sunday, to Palm Sunday, when Christ entered Jerusalem on a donkey and saying that Jesus brings peace through meekness and mildness, and that is symbolized by him riding on that colt upon which no one had sat before him. And Pope Francis pointed out that the crowds acclaimed him as a Messiah. They waved their palms, expecting him to be a powerful liberator or to initiate an era of what the Pope called social justice. But Jesus, of course, does not meet those expectations, and that's because God's way is different from the world's way. He said Jesus doesn't follow a worldly strategy of violence to bring about peace, but instead a strategy, because a strategy like that only ends up being what he called a false peace. And that means a peace that is simply not much more than a break between different wars breaking out. But instead, the peace of the Lord follows that way of meekness in the cross. And it means taking a responsibility for others, just as Jesus took all of humanity's evil and sin and death upon himself in order to set mankind free. And the peace that Jesus brings, it doesn't overpower others because it's not an armed peace, said Pope Francis. But instead, the weapons of the gospel are prayer, our tenderness, forgiveness, and love that is freely given to one's neighbor. And finally today, John, the Pope concluded by reflecting on the Italian word for Easter, which is Pasqua. And so he noted that the word Pasqua signifies passage. It means passage. And this year, he said, it's a blessed occasion to pass from the worldly gods to the Christian God, and from the greed that is within to the charity that actually sets all free, and from the expectation of peace brought by force to the commitment to bear real witness to the authentic peace of Christ. And he invited everyone today to pray, place themselves before the crucified Christ in the wellspring of peace, and to ask Jesus for peace of heart and peace in the world, John.
And Ashley, I was very moved by the Holy Father's asking for an Easter truce. This is something that it would be fantastic if it were to happen. But do you think that when the successor of Peter asked for an Easter truce, the Russians and Putin are actually listening?
Well, let's hope and pray that, of course, the authentic truth in its power can be heard and then heard again all over the world and resound. So that's the fortunate thing that we can do here, where no matter where we are, we can participate in this situation by praying for the truth which sets all of us free.
Well, here we are on Holy Wednesday, also known as Spy Wednesday. What does the rest of Holy Week look like there at the Vatican and in Roma?
Well, John, you can imagine that there are many special traditions that accompany the celebration of Holy Week. And tomorrow on Holy Thursday, one of the most special things is that after the liturgy of the institution of the Eucharist in the evenings, when Jesus is, of course, brought to an altar of repose, here in Rome and hopefully all over the world, people follow that ancient Christian tradition to do the traditional church walk. In other words, to go from church to church, visiting Jesus in those various altars of repose. And here in Rome, for the last 14 years, my husband John and I have invited people from across the city to come together in a group, and we take people to various churches, and in front of each church, we talk about a different virtue and ask them to reflect especially on that virtue as they enter into the doors to pray. And when they go inside and see those altars of repose, of course, they're absolutely beautifully decorated with lots of flowers and candles. And the flowers are supposed to bring us right back to the Garden of Gethsemane and to remind us of that plea of Christ to his disciples to stay awake and to keep vigil with him and pray, lest we fall into temptation. Of course, I think we are all reminded too that the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. But nevertheless, we keep this beautiful tradition walking church to church. And so many people say that Holy Thursday is one of their favorite memories of life in Rome, one of their favorite nights of the year to participate in this beautiful tradition. We'll finish up usually after midnight, and then everyone heads home to continue the commemoration of Holy Week. And then, John, on Good Friday, I'm happy to say that the Way of the Cross, the Via Crucis, will be held at the Colosseum again this year with the Pope. Of course, this has been on hold since 2019 because of the various COVID restrictions. And this is a beautiful candlelit procession where at each station during the Way of the Cross, there is a special reflection that is read. Usually about 20,000 faithful will come and will pray along with these reflections. And of course, during the reenactment of Christ's crucifixion. And each year, the Pope assigns the meditations, assigns the writing of those prayers to a different group or an association. And this year, it was given to associations that do voluntary work, and also to some families. And in fact, the Vatican Press Office announced that the second to last station, the 13th station, was assigned jointly to a Ukrainian and a Russian family, and they co-wrote that reflection. And John, to give you a little bit of a sneak preview on that, some of their words read, "We have no tears left. Anger has given way to resignation. Lord, where are you?"
Wow.
And it goes on to say, yeah.
Yeah, that, it's going to be emotional there in the Colosseum for that candlelight procession. Wow.
It definitely is. They ask the Lord to teach all to be peacemakers and to rebuild what the bombs have tried to destroy. And in addition to that, John, members of Ukrainian and Russian families have been asked to carry the cross for part of the Via Crucis. Now, on a side note, the Ukrainian ambassador for the embassy to the Holy See has objected to that plan for the Ukrainian and Russian families to carry that wooden cross, saying that there are difficulties that impossible consequences that need to be understood and explained before that happens. So there are talks going on about that right now. And as far as Ukraine is concerned, also the Vatican will have a presence there as well. In fact, tomorrow on Holy Thursday, the Almoner of the Vatican, in fact, the cardinal who's in charge of the charitable arm of the Vatican, will drive another ambulance to the Ukraine. You may remember me reporting on this, that he also did this recently. It was a donation from the Vatican, and this will go to a cardiology hospital in Kyiv, and has Vatican plates, for example, and it's meant to signify the Vatican's presence and support in this tormented land. And the papal almoner, Cardinal Kozuski, will actually remain there throughout the Triduum, and he will celebrate masses and celebrate the Triduum. And in fact, he said, even in this time of suffering, that his goal is to help the people sing Alleluia, Christ is risen.
And Ashley, all this leads us to Good Friday, Holy Saturday,
yes,
and Pascha Sunday.
Yes. Yes, in fact, well, John, the Easter Vigil Mass will take place in St. Peter's Basilica at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, and then the Easter Sunday Mass will be in St. Peter's Square at 10 a.m. the next day, which is so exciting that last week was the first event since 2019 held in St. Peter's Square. Squares filled with chairs. It's just really wonderfully exciting. So the square will be filled with flowers that are coming in from Holland, and it's just quite an event to see. So in 2019, there were about 40,000 people in the square on Easter Sunday. So we're expecting something along those lines. And after the Mass itself, the Pope will impart his traditional Urbi et Orbi blessing. Now, Urbi et Orbi, from the city to the world, from the city of Rome to the world. And he stands on that balcony that is over the main entrance door into St. Peter's Basilica. You may recognize it because it's the same balcony where the Pope, after he's elected, is first announced. So at midday on Easter Sunday, he will give that special blessing. And then on Easter Monday, the celebrations continue, John, because here it is a holiday. It's called Pascueta, which means little Easter. And the saying goes that you spend Easter with your family and you spend Pascueta with your friends. And people often go out into the country, they have picnics. But one of the traditional foods that people will be enjoying during these days is a traditional dove-shaped cake called the Columba, Columba meaning Holy Spirit. And for almost a century, since this was created back in the 1930s by a baking company in Milan, this has been enjoyed during Easter time. It's a simple cake. It's with flour and eggs and sugar and yeast and butter. Then they put an icing on top and almonds. And the idea is that the shape of a dove is supposed to, of course, remind us of the movement of the Holy Spirit that we see throughout the Easter season. So these are different special ways that we are going to see people of Italy celebrating this beautiful week, John.
It's going to be very exciting to see all of these events. And of course, we'll be broadcasting the Easter Vigil Mass live from the Vatican with Pope Francis at 12:30 p.m. Central here on Relevant Radio. Ashley, real quickly, I understand you took a pilgrimage to Our Lady of Montserrat in España. Can you briefly tell us about it?
What a wonderful experience, John. I was there yesterday, returned late last night. She is the patron saint of Catalonia. And the story goes that an image of the Madonna was moved to Montserrat around 718 because there was danger of it being desecrated by the Saracens who were invading. And then later, the Benedictine monks tried to move the statue to construct their monastery, but it became so heavy that they couldn't do it. And so then the sanctuary to house that image of Our Lady was built around it. And of course, it's absolutely incredible because it's surrounded by these fascinatingly shaped rocks. And there's a poem that says that the angels took a golden saw and shaped the rocks as a throne for Our Lady. And so it's a beautiful sight to look up and see those rocks surrounding the sanctuary and to have the opportunity to pray there in front of the miraculous image of Our Lady of Montserrat. Also a stop on the Camino de Santiago, on the walk, of course, in honor of St. James. And it was also a misty day, so it kind of added to the mystical feeling of being in such a holy place. And I was able to take the prayers of all of our Relevant Radio family and lay them right there at Our Lady's feet, John.
Well, Ashley, it sounds like a beautiful pilgrimage. I had the opportunity to actually visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Montserrat years ago. It's a beautiful place on top of the hill. It's fantastic. But as always, thanks so much for being with us to bring Rome to home to our audience. Grazie, Ashley.
It is so good to be with you, John, and have a blessed, blessed Holy Week.
Blessed Holy Week and a blessed Easter Triduum to you too. Ashley Nerona, our Rome correspondent, who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app or just go to Relevant in Rome. Coming up on Morning Air, Catholic speaker and journalist Kate Wicker will be with us to talk about the final stretch here of Lent, making the Easter Triduum meaningful for our family. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues. Along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you on this Holy Wednesday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. Now, during this Holy Week, we're remembering the week that changed the world. From Palm Sunday through the Easter Triduum, there are many different events that are so important to our Catholic faith, including the institution of the Holy Eucharist, the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, and His glorious resurrection from the dead. Joining us now is Catholic journalist and speaker Kate Wicker, a Morning Air regular contributor, to talk about the final stretch of Lent, making the Triduum meaningful for families and how it's never too late to turn yourself over to God. Kate is a wife, a mom of five kids, a bibliophile, fitness enthusiast, eating disorder survivor, and a perfectionist in recovery. Kate's also the author of Getting Past Perfect, How to Find Joy and Grace in the Messy of Motherhood. Good morning, Kate. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you here on this Holy Wednesday morning.
Yes, good morning. It's good to be here. It's a great way to start out my morning.
Absolutely. Kate, we are definitely down the stretch, only a day away from Holy Thursday and, of course, the sacred Easter Triduum. How can we still make these historical events meaningful for our families?
Yeah, our pastor this Sunday, he said something that I just thought was pretty, it was simple but profound. He talked about how the rest of the world and around us is just going to keep going on like another crazy busy week in spring, but that we have to take a deep breath and really be intentional about this week, and that we also have to remember that if our Lent wasn't as meaningful as we hoped, if we messed up on all of our Lenten resolutions, that's okay. This is the time to really reclaim our faith, turn back to God, and find little ways, like even if you can't make all of the different beautiful services that your church might be having, from the washing of the disciples' feet on Holy Thursday to Stations of the Cross to confession to all these wonderful things that our churches offer, just spend more time perhaps reading the Bible, sit in front of a crucifix and pray. Find little ways, even on your commute to work or whatever, to really reflect upon God's love for us and what this holy, holy week means to us as Christians. I mean, it's just, if you start to think about it, it's almost, it is unbelievable. Like, how did we get here? How did Christ do this for us? And as a mom, one thing that we always try and do is on Good Friday, we make homemade pretzels, which in a long, long time ago, Christians made very simple bread with just flour and salt and water. And the pretzels became sort of a symbol of praying arms. And so we do that on Good Friday. And then that's kind of our midday meal, a light meal of just a pretzel and maybe some fruit since we're fasting. And then I have my daughter's doing Living Stations of the Cross tomorrow with her school, so I'll be going to that. But I have a Children's Stations of the Cross. And even though my oldest is 17 and could definitely handle the real Stations of the Cross, since I have still a 5-year-old and even the 10-year-old, this is for children. And it's just a beautiful little way to pray the Stations of the Cross. And I put together a little box of little items that symbolize each station. So like a little red string for when Jesus's hands are tied, and a rosary for when Mary and Jesus meet. So all these different pieces that symbolize it and kind of are tactile and bring this journey to the cross alive for children. And it's a tradition I really cherish that I started when my oldest was young, and we've continued it. And no matter how busy we are, there were times in Lent where we would do it every Friday. And we've gotten to the point, you know, sports and activities, a lot of that in the secular world doesn't slow down for this week. So that's why we really have to carve out time to make it meaningful for our family and for ourselves.
There's no question. In fact, I think your pastor is very wise with his suggestion to be intentional, because we only have a couple of days left here. And I've always said it's not where you start, it's where you finish. Even if you've struggled throughout this Lenten period, you can still finish really strong by, like you said, doing some of the little things, including just getting to confession. I've always felt that, Father Rocky has stressed this over the years, and I've always believed his words. Words in encouraging us to get to confession. If you do nothing else during Lent, if you can get to confession, that is a win for us. And I took it to heart last weekend to make sure. I waited in line for quite some time, but made it a confession. And if we can do that, I think it's a mission accomplished to have a clean heart and be ready for these glorious upcoming days.
Yeah, no, I think that's so important. And if it's been a while, if there's some listeners that are, approaching it with trepidation, I know my oldest, when she was younger, she was saying, I used to love confession. And now she was just talking about how she doesn't really, it's harder for her. And I think a lot of us, we go through a period where it becomes kind of the scary thing. But we have to approach it as this mercy-filling thing. It's going to fill us with so much grace, and it's just such a beautiful feeling to walk out of the confessional, like you said, with that clean heart and be prepared for the resurrection of Christ, and to really be the Easter people that we are, to bring that joy forward. But a lot of times what keeps us from embracing that Christian joy is our own shame and our own thinking that we can't, that our sins are bigger than us, bigger than us as beloved children of God. And so we have to get past that. And I think that's such an encouraging thing for listeners is if there's one thing you can do, if you can get to confession and just approach Easter with that joyful, peaceful, clean heart to just embrace this beautiful season. Because then we've got, after, you know, this long day of Lent, I always remind people, the church gave us 40 days of penance and fasting, but then they gave us 50 days of Easter. So we're almost there where we have those 50 days of celebrating and feasting.
Absolutely. And in fact, Easter is such a big feast that it lasts 8 days. We have an octave of Easter.
All of next week
is Easter, and we'll be able to celebrate over and over and continue to celebrate the great miracle of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you talk about here in the final moments practical ways for our listeners, especially those who are so busy? They got, like you said, sports, so much going on with work that maybe you can't get to the liturgies, but you still can do a lot on your own, even if you're just at home. Just some words of encouragement. And then, obviously, if you can, try to get to Holy Thursday and Good Friday liturgies.
Yeah, as much as you can, they're beautiful liturgies. But if your schedule is jam-packed, I think just sitting with the Lord and the Bible, maybe on Good Friday at 3 p.m., if you can, maybe that can be your lunch break when it is finished, when Jesus took his last breath, to read the Passion of the Christ again from one of the Gospels, and to meditate in that great love. If you can be before a crucifix or even have a rosary crucifix to look at and to really meditate on what sacrificial love is. I mean, Jesus gave excessively. One drop of blood could have saved us, but he just kept giving. And to really reflect on that, we always have a scripture to immerse ourselves in, and just sit there with the Lord for any little pockets of time you can. I think that it's those little acts of love that we offer up that can add up to a meaningful life, spiritual life.
And another tradition is to meditate on the last seven words of Christ. And in fact, that is something that if you take the time, and there's many different versions of meditations on the seven last words of Christ, it really can help us to enter into the moment.
Yes, very powerful. Yes. And so any of those little things you can do. And then, of course, the fasting on Good Friday, just reflecting with your children on what sacrificial love means. And, they're going to learn so much. And if I know Good Friday was one of our best. We actually, before all this COVID stuff, we visited shut-ins and elderly people, and it was just such a profound Good Friday. So if you could do something like that, like to really reach out to the poor in spirit or the poor in monetary, or if there's any way you could be Jesus's hands and feet too, that's a beautiful way.
And obviously, how do you bring in the resurrection and explain it to little children, Kate? We have about a minute.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing. You have to know your child, how sensitive they are. Like I did have to tone down. That's why I found, you can find them online if you search like Children's Stations of the Cross. There's lots of resources that really, don't make it, they still mention the crucifixion, but they really make it relatable to children. Like, what does it mean to help a classmate? Or, you know, so it's not this gruesome, because you have to be aware that if you're dealing with young, sensitive children, you don't want to focus too much on that quite yet, and just really focus more on the sacrificial love.
Absolutely. Well, Kate, thanks so much for joining us on this Holy Wednesday. I really appreciate your motherly insights.
Yeah, and I'll be praying for all the listeners out there that we have a peaceful, wonderful last stretch.
Thanks so much. You can go to katewicker.com. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today called It Happened Just As He Said by Peter Kennedy. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him, just as he told you. He starts with that piece of scripture from Mark 16. Former White House counsel Charles Colson, convicted for his involvement in the Watergate scandal as an assistant to President Nixon, was often asked about the resurrection and if it could be a hoax with a cover-up to make it look like Christ rose from the dead. He answers, "The Watergate cover-up reveals some of the true nature of humanity. Even political zealots at the pinnacle of power will, in a crunch, save their own necks, even at the expense of the ones they profess to serve so loyally. But the apostles could not deny Jesus because they'd seen him face to face, and they knew that he'd risen from the dead." No, you can take it from an expert in cover-ups, I've lived through Watergate, that nothing less than a resurrected Christ could have caused these men to maintain to their dying whispers that Jesus is alive and is Lord. 2,000 years later, nothing less than the power of the risen Christ could inspire Christians around the world to remain faithful despite prison, torture, and death. Jesus is Lord. That's the thrilling message of Easter. It's an historic fact, one convincingly established by the evidence, and one you can bet your life upon. Christ's resurrection is an historical fact. It happened on that first day of the week following Passover, city of Jerusalem. Our faith is grounded in history, not a philosophy. Today in prayer, thank Christ that he not only predicted his resurrection, he also fulfilled it, so we may have hope in him. Matthew 28, 5 and 6. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay."
Thanks so much, Glenn. That's what it's really all about. Jesus is Lord. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tyone, will be with us to discuss why Holy Wednesday is also known as Spy Wednesday. Plus, career coach Bruce Lochinar will be joining us once again with the latest on the job market and some more advice on landing your dream job. Stay with us. Don't change that dial. There's much more to come here on Morning Air next hour on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app.